Have your Bible there. Please turn to 2 Peter this evening. Turning to 2 Peter chapter 3. This morning we were considering something of the vineyard illustration and the fig tree, Christ passing by the fig tree, finding no fruit, only foliage, nothing but leaves, cursing that tree. And so the exhortation is to repent and to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be fruitful for him. And I want us to continue thinking about growth this night, growing in the Lord, bearing fruit for him. Along that line, that analogy, and we want to look here at 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin to read at the verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. It is that last verse I want us to consider tonight. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want us to think tonight about this growing in grace, the meaning of growing in grace, what that means, the manner of our growth. I want us to think about motives to growth and the means to growth to that end. We would indeed grow in grace and in knowledge and be fruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. With our Bibles open, let's just take a moment now to be still again and to ask for the Lord's help as we look to this word. Our Father in heaven, we come again to your word. We look to thee for fresh grace and fresh help. We are not sufficient for these things in and of ourselves. There are difficulties, there are things hard to understand, and we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God opening our eyes, our understanding, to behold wondrous things out of your law. Oh, that we would delight in the law of God this night. We would delight in the love of Christ. We would delight in your grace and your salvation. Lord, that we would seek to grow up in thee. Use even this message. May it bear fruit. May it be used in the lives of your people to instruct them and teach them in the way that they should go. Lord, guide us with your eye, with your counsel. We need that wisdom that is from above. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. We will be led astray, Lord, if we follow the thinking, the rationale of this world. We pray that we would ever follow the truth of God, be built up in Christ Jesus. Bless us now as we look to your word. Give help, we pray. Use it for your honor and glory. Accomplish your purpose and your will in the lives of this congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every living thing grows. It will grow, it will develop until it reaches its full size, until it comes to maturity. Inanimate objects do not grow. Rocks do not grow. Living things grow. And when we think about our salvation and how we have, as the people of God, been born again of the Spirit of God, the seed of His Word, that incorruptible seed planted in us, we have this new principle of life in Christ. As newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we would grow thereby. That concept applies to the physical, natural life. A little child takes the milk to grow thereby. And so it applies to the spiritual life as well. If we are going to grow in Christ, in grace, we need to develop in the Lord. We were reading this morning those words from 1 Peter, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How will we know an increase in grace and peace? It is through a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow up in Him. When we think of nature, God sends down the rain and the showers. He gives the sunshine. He blesses the crops. There is a harvest. And so it is in our own spiritual walk. We need to be watered with the Word. We need the Sun of Righteousness to shine upon us. We would know His favor, His radiance, His grace. The psalmist tells us the Lord God is a sun and a shield. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He feeds and He refreshes the soul. He sustains His people. He renews our strength. He builds us up. And as believers, we are never finished growing. We are never done. We never come to the place where we have arrived. We're always developing, always learning, always growing. You can't remain a babe. You must grow. You must develop. There's something wrong if the child is not growing. So likewise, we must grow up in Christ. It's the natural outcome of the new principle of life within. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean when a Christian is said to grow in grace? You think about the exercise of grace. We're exhorted in Timothy, exercise yourself unto godliness. We're to grow in the exercise of grace. Exercise yourself unto godliness. When you think about bodybuilding or working out, the athlete, the bodybuilder, he will grow stronger. How does he grow stronger? By exercise, daily exercise, by a routine, a disciplined routine or workout. It could be just a few minutes a day, but there's evident signs following that activity. He grows stronger and stronger. It's the repetition of exercises, different exercises. It's going to form and develop the muscle so that it grows stronger. And so it is with us. There must be the exercise of grace. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness. That discipline, that habit, putting away old habits. When you come to Christ, old things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And there is that development in grace. There is this new life, new loves, new desires. Old things pass away, and we're forming new habits. And we're being built up in the Lord. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, we must maintain those times of fellowship with Jesus Christ in His Word and in the place of prayer. In the exercise of grace, we are to grow. In the degree of grace, we are to grow. I've been thinking about this recently. Been doing some work in my backyard. Rented a rototiller a few weeks ago. Got a real workout there. Digging up the soil. Raking it out. Making sure it's level. And then sowing grass seed. And you're looking day by day for that blade of grass to appear. It's only been 2 weeks. But every day you're out there to see, is it growing yet? Is there any grass appearing? And you're waiting patiently. It takes time. And just as that seed is planted, it doesn't lie dormant in the ground for long. Within a week, I was beginning to see grass, thankfully. Grass, blades of grass were sprouting up. And it's developing. It's growing. And I'm thankful for that after all the labor that was involved. But it doesn't lie dormant for long. It will spring up in the earth, first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full shock of corn. As that seed is planted. And just as it is with nature, it's the nature of the seed to grow, so it is the nature of grace. This ought to be something that is natural to the believer. You see it in the new believer, the new convert to Christ. There's a hunger. There's a desire to know more and more and to grow stronger and stronger by degree, to grow in grace. And so there's that time spent in the Word, that devouring of the Word of God. You can't get enough of it, reading and taking it in and studying the Word of God. And I heard testimonies to that effect recently, how that as a new Christian, there was that hunger and that thirst, that desire to take in as much as they could of the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing. It ought to be a natural thing for the believer. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Again, back in 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, since you have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious, you have known something of His grace in your life. Now there is this desire to grow in Him by degree, step by step. That desire to know more and more of His grace and His love, to know more and more of Christ, your Savior. That must be our goal. I passed by a church sign just yesterday, and the sign read, "Our mission is to know Christ and to make Him known." That's our mission. As believers, It's our mission, our goal, our desire, our ambition to know Christ and to make him known. That's what Paul said in Philippians 3, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, being conformed to Christ more and more. He says, I haven't arrived yet. I'm pressing toward the mark. I haven't come to the place where I'm perfected, but I'm striving day by day to know more and more of Christ. That's our goal as the people of God. That's what Peter is saying here in his concluding remark in the end of this book, 2 Peter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the exercise of grace, by degree, we are growing day by day in the Lord. And as we esteem Christ, as we look to him, as we see Jesus in all his beauty, all his glory, all his power, there is that desire to know more of him. We think less of ourselves. We're not consumed so much then with our own interests, but his interest. And so we think about the manner of a Christian's growth. It doesn't happen overnight, just like that grass. I had some work to do, some digging to do, some raking to do, some sowing, some watering, waiting. It takes time. And it is something that happens gradually. The principle of sanctification is progression, growth, step by step, stage by stage, growing in grace. True grace is progressive. There's that advance in holiness, that increase in the things of God. There's a planting, there's a taking root, there's a watering, and then the increase. It doesn't happen all at once. Yes, at once we are justified, just as if we've never sinned. All at once, the Lord declares us righteous. But as regard to our sanctification, it is a progressive thing. It is a gradual thing, going from strength to strength. Now, there are those who may tell you that they were saved on such and such a day, and on such and such a day, they were sanctified. And ever since that point in time, they have never sinned again. They believe in complete or perfect sanctification, perfectionism. Never struggled with sin ever since that time. Well, don't believe that for one moment. That's not the teaching of God's word. Old things are to be put away. We are to become new, but it doesn't happen all at once. And it will not be complete until we arrive in glory and are glorified. But day by day, we are to strive to grow, to live up to the standard and expectations that the Lord has set for us in his word. We're to grow up in Christ, develop in him. From faith to faith, strength to strength, in love and knowledge, abounding more and more, Paul said of the Philippians, praying for the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, that they would abound yet more and more in knowledge and in love and in judgment. And it's a gradual thing. It doesn't happen all at once. It may happen imperceptibly, but there must be growth gradually. But also we're to grow proportionately, in one grace as well as another. And that's why it says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, how we are to add to our faith. The first chapter of this second epistle, we were reading it this morning. Verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So growing gradually, step by step, forming godly habits, abiding in the Word, developing in the faith, but growing proportionately as well, in one grace as well as another. There's some things we need to work at. Temperance is one of the things I need to work at. For someone else, it may be something different. Virtue, kindness, charity. But we're to work at it, work at these areas, developing these things in our life. Uniform growth, proportionate growth. You go back to the illustration of the workout in the gym, the athlete or the bodybuilder. You've seen those bodybuilders with bulging muscles. You have to confess, it's not very appealing. All those veins and muscles, not very attractive. But there's something in it that draws them to this sport. These bodybuilders with these bulging muscles. And the point of perfection that they are pursuing, what are they striving for? They're striving for perfect symmetry. Now, you know in yourself, if you're right-handed, your right hand tends to be stronger than your left hand. Your forearm, your triceps, and your biceps are a little stronger, maybe, in your strong hand. And you want equal strength in the other hand. That's what they're trying to develop, symmetry in the body, a symmetry of those muscle groups. And the beauty of the body consists in the symmetry of its parts. But if you only work out, if you're only working one particular muscle or one particular area of the body, everything is going to look out of proportion. So they're looking for that symmetry, you know. Better not flex too hard. I don't want to rip my jacket. I'm glad you laughed. But symmetry in the body. Developing the muscles. And you've seen these bodybuilders, puffed out chest, big arms, veins bulging out. And then you look at the waist, it's such a tiny little waist, these scrawny little chicken legs. It just doesn't look right. It's out of proportion. They're concentrating on one area of the body, the chest, or the arms, the muscles, and yet neglecting the other area. It looks weird. It looks out of proportion. They look top heavy. It's odd, out of balance. But you want to develop in all areas. You have to work out all the muscles for that perfect symmetry of the body. And so it is with us, adding to faith virtue. We got to work at that. Things that are morally excellent, concentrating, dwelling on those things. The knowledge of Christ, temperance, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. These are areas that we have to work at and concentrate on, not just one area, but all areas proportionately. And that takes time. It's gradual. It's proportionate. The manner of our growth. But what about the motive to Christian growth? The farmer, as he plants the seed in the ground, he has an expectation. The harvest will soon come in due time, in due course. There's an incentive for him. There are certain incentives that help us to grow. Why does the farmer lay out the cost of seed? Great cost. The cost of seed, fertilizer, tilling the ground, watering it, expending his energy. It's all that labor, that work, that toil, preparing it. Why? The end result. He's looking for a harvest. He puts the time, the effort, the money into the land that it would grow and bring forth fruit, harvest. That's the end he has in mind. And we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. God has given to us his word that we would grow thereby. The sincere milk of the word is meant to nourish and strengthen us and increase us in godliness. And the more time and effort and diligence we give to the word of God, what will be the result? There will be spiritual growth. There will be fruit in our lives. There's a great benefit here, a great harvest. We will reap that reward, a great benefit to our souls. It will keep us from being barren and unfruitful, we read there in the first chapter. So it's important for the maintenance of our spiritual life, maintaining our walk with God, that we dwell in his word, that we do take time with the Lord, that we do drink in his word, that we would grow thereby, be nourished and strengthened. There's a great blessing in that, great harvest for our own souls, great reward. And the more we do that, the more we grow, the more our lives will reflect Christ and bring glory and honor to his name. We will grow in the things of God, and it will surely promote righteousness and godliness and truth, and it will stunt the growth of corruption and lust and the things of the flesh. As we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, as humility grows, pride is banished. As purity grows up, lust is abolished. Sin will not thrive so fast if we're dwelling in Christ, dwelling in his word, taking it in. Will be evident in our life. It will say to those around that there's a work of grace going on in that soul. That person is alive in Jesus Christ. And the more we grow, the greater our delight will be in God, and the greater God's delight will be in us. Therein is the Father glorified, if you bring forth much fruit, John 15. As we abide in the vine, as branches connected to Christ, in union with him, abiding in the vine, drawing our life, our strength, our resources from him, we will be sustained, we will be strengthened, our lives will testify for him, the Father will be glorified if you bring forth much fruit. It is a praise and honor to God when he sees us thriving in spiritual graces and affections. And just as that husbandman, that farmer, is commended for his skill and labor and knowledge when he plants and sows and waters and brings in the bumper crop, there's reward in that. There's something fulfilling. There's something rewarded. So it is with us. Christ loves to see his vines flourishing in the beauty of holiness. It's wonderful to see a young Christian hungering and thirsting after righteousness, desiring the word, hungering, longing to grow. Something natural to the believer. And maybe you've been on the road for some time. You're mature in your faith. The very same principle applies. Maybe you think you've reached a plateau. The same principle for growth applies. We must desire the sincere milk of the word if we are going to grow thereby. The necessity of growth in the Christian life is a given. Even the great apostles, here is Peter, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The disciples cried, Lord, increase our faith. There was that desire to grow in grace and in knowledge. And if they longed for it, how much more should we long for it? But if we neglect these things, if we neglect the word of God, what happens? You lose your spiritual appetite. And when you lose your spiritual appetite, you will not grow. There's no hunger and thirst for the things of God, no desire to be in the Lord's house at the place of prayer, no desire to be in fellowship with the Lord's people, no desire to talk openly about the things of the Lord. You lose your spiritual appetite. And then you wonder why you're not satisfied. And when there's not that hunger and thirst, what happens? You look to other things to satisfy the cravings of your soul, the things that only God can provide. And the heart is consumed by the things of this world. And when you lose your spiritual appetite, you will not grow. You will not grow in the Lord, but you will grow worldly, perhaps. There's a greater inclination to the things of this world. There's more interest in the world and less interest in the Word of God. You're not going to grow thereby. And that's a sign of spiritual declension when the heart is more and more attached to the things of earth. And yet the Lord said, set your affections on things above. Set your mind on things above. Heavenly things, eternal things, not material things, not the things of this earth. These things will pass away. The Lord's word shall endure forever. You lose your spiritual appetite. You're more drawn to the things of the world. And you will find that you are less and less troubled by sin. Sin doesn't bother you like it once did. There's not that sensitivity anymore to the word of the Lord. Not that same resistance to sin. Not that same conviction. And you begin to make excuses. Well, that's just the way things are. It's just the way life is. That's just the way the world is going. And you're not shocked. You're not grieved by the sin around you. Open sin. But you tolerate it. There was once a time when it troubled you greatly. And so we need to maintain those times with the Lord. There's something lacking if we're not growing. If there's no gradual progression, there's something wrong. The plants which do not grow, what happens? They decay. They wither up. And if faith does not grow, unbelief will. If spirituality does not grow, carnality will. You find, I'm finding even in my garden, having prepared the garden, raked it out, pulled out all the roots, all the weeds, sowing the grass seed, the grass is springing up, but what else? There's weeds there too. And those weeds need to be pulled out. And if we're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a tendency to the things of this world, then we're going to find those things choking out the life of God. If godly knowledge will not grow, vain thoughts enter in. If your love is not growing in Christ, then there's a tendency for the root of bitterness to spring up. We need to be very careful. We need to be on our guard. But you know, the Word of God is never exhausted. Never exhausted. It's the means to our growth. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you. It's a lamp for your feet and a light for your path. Let the word of God be your rule, your guide. Trust God. Believe his word. Accept his word. Submit to his word. Follow his word. And you will never go wrong. We cannot grow too much. You can't say, I've arrived. I know all there is to know. There's so much in God's word. It's a treasure house of riches for us to mine. We're to be growing always in the Lord. We have not arrived. There's so much to glean from the word of God. If you feel that you've come to a plateau, you need to return to those first principles again and just like a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you would grow thereby, that you would develop in the Lord. A mother knows her child is growing when his pants begin to creep up his leg. So funny to me in the school, coming near the end of the school year, you see these children walking around. They've been wearing these shoes all year. And it's near the end of the school year, and the parents don't want to buy new shoes. And so they're walking on the heels. The heels are flat, and their heels are out. The shoes, they've outgrown their shoes. It's the same with the pants. You see the pants, three-quarter length up the leg. They've outgrown their pants. It's time for a new pair. First signs of growing for the Christian is when we want to go beyond the knowledge that we have. We want to know more. The sign the child is ready for a new pair of pants, they're outgrowing those pants, or a new pair of shoes. And we want to grow more and more. And we want to take in all that the Lord has for us. When we want to go beyond the knowledge that we have, the Word of God is never exhausted. We want to go deeper, to get beyond the former measure of grace that we have. We want greater insights into the Word of God. We want to form stronger spiritual habits, have a spiritual frame of mind and of heart, becoming more and more serious about the things of God. You can never outgrow God's Word. His Word is never exhausted. There's always something more for us to glean from His Word, and we're to feed upon it day by day. That's our strength. That must be our portion. You think of Elijah. Elijah under the juniper tree. Elijah was discouraged. The Lord came and ministered to him, touched him, gave him something to eat and to drink. It says he went in the strength of that meat 40 days. The Lord came to encourage him. And you know, as we feed upon the Word of God, our strength is renewed, we are sustained, we are upheld. He gives to us exceeding great and precious promises that will not fail. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, met with his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, he invited them, he said, come and dine, come and dine. And there they had breakfast by the seashore, they enjoyed fellowship with him. He instructed them, he restored Peter, and he said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. But first they had to come and dine with Jesus. And so it is with us. If we are going to be strong for the Lord, if we are going to be witnesses for him, we must feast upon the Word of God. And we eat the bread of heaven that we may be strengthened and sustained in the Master's service. Following Christ, feeding upon him. There were those in the days of Christ's ministry. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. They were following Christ for loaves, out of curiosity, longing to see some miracle, but not really because of their love for the giver, for Christ himself. Some Christians are okay living on Christ, but are not so anxious to live for Christ. We're to live for Christ day by day. Love him, not just for what he gives us. Love him because of his grace. Let his word dwell in us richly, that we would be taught the right way to go. The word of God must be our rule and our guide. Holy principles of God's word governing our life. Young person, take this to heart tonight, here tonight. Think of that word, Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are we going to live clean in an unclean world? How are we going to live for Christ in this world? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? By taking heed thereto according to God's word. May the word of God ever be our portion, our spiritual food, that we would be strengthened, we would maintain those times with the Lord, the maintenance of our spiritual life for that growth in grace and in knowledge. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. Your word is pure, tried by men, challenged, and yet it stands the test of time. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall endure forever. It is the eternal word of the living God. We're thankful for the revelation of Christ, how God reveals himself to men through the word. And Lord, help us, if we are to know thee, help us to feed upon your word day by day. Oh, that we would abound yet more and more in love and in the knowledge of Christ. Lord, help us to walk day by day with the Savior. Keep us from evil. Keep us for yourself. Oh, that we would be pure, unspotted from the world. Help us to be clean in an unclean world. Receive our thanks, Lord, for your goodness to us this day. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless the food prepared. Be with us as we converse together. May we enjoy your presence. Abide with us, Lord. The day is far spent. It is toward evening. And we ask, Lord, that you would remain with us even now as we leave this sanctuary, as we go out this week. May we know your abiding presence with us day by day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.